Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth.
I'm sorry he had to do it, but I'm glad he took my place, aren't you? Praise God. Good to be here this morning. Appreciate you being in the Lord's house with us. And this is where my heart's at today, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Our old Bible teacher, Brother Raymond Riggs, would be proud of this. He'd say, gentlemen, he'd say, get you a verse and preach the textual message out of it and put it under the microscope. He said, you boys like to telescopically preach. You like to reach out there where you can just grab this, that, and it. He said, but get a verse. I'm very hot up here, Jeff. I don't know why I'm so loud. Get a verse and put it under the microscope and see what it says. And I was reading yesterday or day before, I guess it was, and this verse jumped off the page at me. And I thought of my old friend. He was 91. He'd moved to Missouri. He called me and he said, Brother Mike, said, I'm out here. Said, I thought I'd just come out here and relax. And he said, they put me to teach in a Bible class. And I love Brother Raymond. He was my friend. Found 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19 is the verse we're in today. I pray this will help you. If you're here and you're lost, it's going to be a good day for you to be saved. I'm going to preach some things that everybody's not in this world today do not agree with. It will not be politically correct. It will be offensive to some. But Jesus said it's impossible, but that offenses come. They'll come. And so, not trying to get you to turn off the ear monitor just now, but I want you to pay particular attention to this today. I want to preach on a sure foundation. A sure foundation. If you found 2 Timothy 2 and 19, shout amen for me.
Amen.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Father, I love you and I praise you for this day and for who you are. And Lord, I thank you for taking the nails and that it prepared us a place in heaven. Lord, it allowed us, enabled us, redeemed us, purchased us because of the price that was paid on Calvary. Now today, Lord, as I try to preach this message, I pray you help me. I pray for unction and strength. I pray you fill my mouth and guard my tongue and preach me inside the bounds of the book. Lord, we know the book to be true. You've proven it, Lord, over and over again. Prophecy after prophecy has come to pass. 2,000 years after Jesus, you haven't missed one yet. Lord, I don't expect you to miss one now. So, Lord, if there's a lost one here today, I pray you save them. For the Christian that's out of fellowship with you, I pray, God, that you would bring them back to the place that they need to be. And I pray you'd use me, Lord, that your saints be redeemed, or your saints be revived, your saints be restored. And we'll praise you for everything that's done. And I ask it in the King's name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. And amen. This is Paul's swan song. Paul's making some statements right here to young Timothy, and Paul's not long for this world. Paul's about to die. They're going to execute Paul here in a very short period of time, and he's writing his last letter. Paul's writing a letter, and he's teaching them. He's trying to teach them in this day, which is very applicable to us in the time in which we live. He's trying to teach them to do this, to be good soldiers. We're going to pray for a young man at the end of this service, and I didn't know that this was going to be part of the message, but here God's brought it to my mind, that's going into a university to study, and he wanted to be prayed over. We need soldiers on the front line. He said, but if you're going to be a soldier, you're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to endure some hardness. Now, in chapter 1, prior to that, he said, hey, there's some suffering that goes along with this thing called Christianity. It's not popular today, but my friend, if there's ever been a time that persecution is coming to the modern church, I said the modern church, it's the day in which we live. It is on the horizon. There's a lot of things looming out there that's going to come against us. And I'm telling you, my best days are behind me. But for these young men and women within our walls here today, they're going to face things that I've never faced in my lifetime as a Christian. You better know it's coming. So that letter that Paul's writing to a young man named Timothy, you better know, you young folks, you're going to need it today. There's going to be some suffering involved. That's why so many are just throwing in the towel, folding up their little tent, going on about the way of the world. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There's a lot of them giving up and going out. But watch this. He said, look, there's going to be some suffering. We need some soldiers. And we need some people that's going to stand on the foundation of God. Now, he lists two men here that have... I'll read you the verse. Speaking of Hymenaeus and Philetus, says this, and their word will eat as doth a canker. He's speaking to them. They were speaking that the resurrections had already passed. They were errorists. They were speaking something that wasn't true. But he says, no matter though all these things happen. I've seen that somebody told me, I didn't read the post, but I think Sister Jan may have made mention of it, but I looked it up yesterday and read this fellow, Joshua Harris, that had written a book back in the 90s, Kissing, Dating, Goodbye, and he is very critical of different types of people and different kinds of lifestyles, and I'm going to get on some of that here in just a little bit, but he is very critical. But he went from one extreme to the other. Now he's threw it up. He said, I'm no longer a Christian, and I embrace gay rights and the LGBTQRSUVWXYZ community. I'm embracing all of that. He has thrown it up. He said, I'm done. And he's a very well-known pastor. I like what Franklin Graham said. He said, this is nothing new. He said, they're doing this in Paul's day. Don't get bent out of shape for it. Hey, though all these things happen, kingdoms may fall and they will. Kings will come and they'll disappear. Men will rise up and men will fall down. Hey, a movie star today, next week can't buy a job nowhere because they got old and they're not pretty anymore. All these things will pass. Beauty will fade. But bless God, I'm glad there's one thing today that'll stand sure. What is that? The foundation of God. They've been trying to tear it down since Satan invaded the garden. I want us to consider, and you're going to need your Bibles today. We're not going to turn just right yet, but in a moment. Foundation. Foundation. I want us to consider this, that is introduction. It's standing sure. Paul said, there's one thing you can know, the foundation of God standeth sure. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, and I think it's verse 11, he said, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So if we're confused about who this is, we know that he is the cornerstone of the foundation. The foundation, this thing he says that stands sure, it began with Christ. Well, how far back does it go, preacher? Well, it went before the foundation of the world. That's how far back it goes. And it's still standing strong. I mean, before time was, he was. Hey, before man was ever up on the earth, he was from the foundation, way past our remembering. There's that foundation. And you know what it does? It stands sure. You still with me? So it refers to him as the stone. He was a stone and a stumbling to the Jews. He was a rock of offense. They stumbled all over this stone. There he was, right in amongst them. And they knew the scriptures. He said, you know the scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Hey, I am the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwell among us. There he was, right in front of them. Listen, fulfilling the prophecy that they had memorized, but they were too blind to see what was going on. They chose blindness. Many do that today. Stay with me. He's the stone. But it's not only the stone. You can look. You can look. I'm going to where we were called out of today. I'm going to Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 19. And listen to this. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone. So this reference here to a foundation is not just the thing that's laid in the ground. It's not just the cornerstone. According to Ephesians, it's the structure which sets upon that. What would that be, my friend? That'd be the church. We're fitly joined together. That'd be the church. And listen, and if it's built on anything other than the cornerstone, Christ Jesus, it is not the church. It's not. Amen. The only way it is the church, if it is built upon the cornerstone. Now, once it's on that stone, then it becomes part of the structure. And listen, I'm going to get in trouble right here, but I don't care, really. It is this. It is not a denomination. It is not. It is a body. And I don't care if you're yellow, black, white, green, purple, polka dot. Listen, there's only one blood, and if you've been born again, you can be in the body. Then there's some ordinances to follow once a birth has occurred. I'm not going down that road. Help me, Lord. Steer me in the right direction. Now, all right, class. Do we know what the foundation is? Christ. He is the foundation, and He is the cornerstone, but what is the structure that's upon the foundation? The church. So now we have Christ and we have the church. And the church is made up of all believers. So here we are. We're baptized by one Spirit into what? One body. There we go. So now we're all in agreement according to the Word of God that it is this. It is the body. Listen. It is Christ. And the church is the body. All by Scripture, not my opinion. I'm giving you Bible for all of it. Okay. This is a sure foundation. But this foundation contains something. What is this? The seal. Oh. Oh. The foundation stands sure, and here's what it has, having this seal. Now there's two parts to the seal of the foundation. Let me explain this seal in Bible times. It could be a ring or a signet. And they would take that and they would press that into something soft, and what it done, it meant that thing had been approved by the one in authority. Are you with me? But it doesn't just mean a ring or a signet. It can also mean this. It can mean an instrument that is used to make an impression or an inscription into something. And what it does, it permanently marked. The seal was a permanent mark upon whatever it was laid to identify it as such. Are you still with me? Now, my mind went back to John, when in John 19 and 19, and Pilate wrote a title and put it up on the cross. Are you with me? Now, by the time when you get to John, you learn this about the title that was put up on the cross. Here's what the title said: Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Well, the priest saw it and got bent all out of shape. He said, don't say King of the Jews. Say that he said he's King of the Jews. Pilate said, what I've written, I've written. Unknowingly, you know what Pilate's doing? He's signing the seals. Say, hey, say, well, how do you get that picture? Because there's about to be an impression made that's permanent. What is that? Bless God forever. They laid him down upon the crossbars. They took that instrument of pain. They drove the spikes into his, between his wrists, the base of his hands, and nailed him up on that thing, hoisted him up, and dropped that crossbar into the bar that was standing up, and his bones fell out of joint, and it made an impression or an inscription in his wrist and in his feet. And they'll say, his friends will say, where did you receive these wounds? He said, in the house of my friends. You know what that is? That's a permanent seal. Praise God. It marked the foundation. No one can remove the mark, the prints, from the foundation. Amen. It's forever proven. And it's in Jesus. Are you still with me? Who's the mark of the seal? Jesus. Where'd they mark him? Where'd they put the impression or the inscription? In his hands and his feet. What did Thomas say? I'm not going to believe unless I see the prints, thrust my hand into his side and feel the prints and see the prints in his hands. But when he seen him, he fell down at his feet and he said, my Lord and my God. He said, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. How many of you here today are going to have to see it before you believe it? I'll tell you, you'll never believe, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. You'll never see it with the natural eye. You'll not see it. If you see it with the natural eye, it's too late. You're standing before him in judgment. But if you see it with the eye of faith, he said, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed. Who would that be? That'd be me today. What do you say? I believe it, Randy Weaver. I not only believe it, I know it. You can't know it, I'm going to prove that I can in just a moment. So we have the foundation, and it's sure. And it has two parts of a seal. The seal mainly is Christ. But look here. I want us to consider this. Nevertheless, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Here's what the seal says. So what we have here is the identifying. Number one, we have the identifying factor. How do we have that? What is that? The Lord knoweth them that are His. He knows His own. There's no question about it. You might fool me. I believe that Harris boy had a lot of people fooled. But he never fooled the Lord. He may have had a million copies sold, but he never fooled the Lord. You can't fool him. You'll never fool him. I don't get all bent out of shape. Listen, when they start trying to teach out of books rather than the Bible, Gordon, I just got a real problem with that. I don't need a purpose-driven life. I got the purpose-driven book. I don't need all these things that some men's written somewhere. I got the Word of the living God. Hey, listen, and as long as I'm pastor here, that's what we're going to abide by. I don't know much else, but I know this. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I believe it's the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. It doesn't make your opinion or my opinion. Listen, it doesn't matter about opinions. It's what thus saith the Lord. Now, do you read other books? I got a book gave to me the other day by Johnny Hunt. I'm about to read that book. I'm not going to bring it up here and teach you out of it. It's the Bible, Brother Dennis. It was the Bible before me. It was the Bible before my grandparents. It was the Bible, praise God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's the Bible. Say, well, I don't like that Bible. Well, you're in the majority. Identifying factor. How does He know them that are His? This is going to help you. Helped me last night when I got it. You know how He knows them that are His? Because He was there when they were born. That's how He knows. He was there when they were born. He knows it's them. Now, back in the dark ages, they used to put the men in a room with cigar smoke and cigarettes. It's so smoky you couldn't breathe in there. And they crammed all the daddies in there and they said, we'll come out and tell you when it's all over. And they come out and tell them, all right, you got a girl or you got a boy. And by the way, that's all you had. And so there, they would come out and tell you all that stuff. But I believe they're more spiritual with it today. You know what they do? They let the daddy go right in the room. You know what Dusty done with Colin Boy? He cut the cord. Do you think he can be confused who that youngin' is? No. It's his. And you know why? Because he was there when it was born. Oh yeah. So I don't have to be born again. Well, let's see what Jesus said about it. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How shall this be? When a man is old, can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? He said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that's not speaking of baptism, and except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter in. He's talking about it took a birth to put you in a body, that the body might be the soul saved and get into the kingdom of God. And he comments on it in the next verse when he says, That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, listen, my good friend, ye must be born again. You must be. Now God said that. That's not Mike McCoy. That's straight Bible. That's what the Bible said. You must be born again. So how does he know his own? Because he was there when you were born. Because if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. I'll use that verse again momentarily. So he's there at the birth. But not only was he at the birth, but here's what he does. Listen, he was present at his birth, but he provides for the babies. They were kind of bent out of shape. Jesus said, take no thought of tomorrow. He said, listen, here, we're thinking about what, don't worry about what you eat or drink. For after all these things do the Gentiles see. He said, but your father knows that you have need of these. Can I ask you that are parents in the room today, was there ever a time when you walked up and seen your child and thought, I'm going to leave you naked, barren, destitute, and without food out there on the side of the road? I dare say there's none of those in this room today. Most real parents sacrifice for the children. Peter said it like this, 1 Peter, I think it's 2:2. He said, listen, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. What's he talking about? He's talking about, Jesus said, except you become as a little, be converted and become as a little child. I read this somewhere this week. This helped me. God only creates out of nothing. Now, chew on that for a minute. When you get to be nothing, He's ready to do something with you. For therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, creation. What's he going to do? How's he do? You got to get to be nothing. Because when we think we're something, my, the number one thing God hates, it tops his list, is pride. That's the original sin, by the way. Well, some of you don't look real happy now. It's just going to get worse, I'm going to tell you. He's present at the birth. He's provided every day. Look here. Look here. And I like this. He's proud of our accomplishments. Was it Matthew 25? Let me make sure I'm in the right chapter. Matthew 25, verse number 21. He said this. He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many." He's not asking you to do a lot, just a little. I just want you faithful over a few things. I would to God. If we could get faithful to just church attendance. I mean, 3 times a week, no matter how hard it is. That's a few things. If we could get faithful, I told a young man this morning, I said, "Look here, always do this," and it's amazing how the pieces of the puzzle fall in place. If you read your Bible and pray, that's just that simple. What have I got to do to stay spiritual? Read your Bible and pray. Say, "I don't feel like reading." That's when you need to read the most. "I don't feel like praying." That's when you need to pray the most. When you don't feel like it, do it. You know what the Father does, Brother Jimmy? He's proud of your accomplishments. Why is that, Brother David? Because when we read that book, you know what God does? He speaks to us. That's His living Word. He's speaking to me through reading His book, His Word. And then you know what He wants to hear? He wants to hear us speak to Him. I've said it over and over. Pat says it's true. Sometimes He don't even answer me. But no matter where I'm at or what I'm involved in, if 261-9089 comes up on my phone, whoever I'm with, I'm going to say, "Excuse me, I must take this call." And I may not go into conversation, but I'll at least say, "Hey, son, I'll call you back." Click. But you know what he's going to hear? He's going to hear his daddy's voice. "Gordon, you may call me. I may take a voicemail. You may call. You may leave me a voicemail. I will call you back. You leave me a voicemail. But if that phone rings and it's that picture of that boy on there, I'm going to answer that phone." How much more God for you? And when you ring, you thank God. "I love the Lord because He's heard my voice and my supplication. He hath inclined His ear unto me." The God of heaven bends over and says, "Yes, Danny." There it is. He's proud of our accomplishments. He wants to hear from us. Number 4 in this identifying factor is He promises us an inheritance. As many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. "For He hath not given us the spirit of fear," again to bondage, "but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Isn't that good? And here we go, proving that we can know that we're saved. "And the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Hallelujah. If you don't know that this morning, listen, you need to hear from heaven. Amen. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I know this because of what He wrote, but it's not just that, Brother David. I know it because the Spirit hath revealed it unto me. And children, Brother Jimmy, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Identifying factor. A promised inheritance. Number two, there's two parts of this seal. The second part of this seal is this. The first part is that He knoweth them that are His. The second part that is written, the old writers compared this to the Word of God that was up on the doorpost. They said to put it on the post of your house. So when you come in, you would see it, you would know it, you would understand it. There it is. Hey, you come in my house, here's what it says. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Well, that doesn't sound like too big a deal. Because we can do that easy, right? No. And John warns us about it when he says this. He said, listen, I say that we sin not. But if we do sin, well, Solomon had already said over in the Old Testament, there's no man that sinneth not. Now, I'm not talking about living in habitual sin. I'm going to get that in a moment. I'm talking about, here's the thing. Here's the identifying factor of this. It's the parting from iniquity. It's when iniquity is forsaken. So, what does that say? It's your attitude toward iniquity. It's how you feel when you do something wrong, according to the Scripture. He chastens those that are His. If you can live in habitual sin, free reign, without any conscience bothering you at all, my friend, the Holy Ghost does not indwell you, or the Scripture's wrong.
Amen.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Brother Gordon hit it in Sunday school this morning. It's the conversations we engage in and which ones we prefer over others. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It don't have anything to do with it. They don't like the Bible. They don't care anything about church. They think you're a nut job if you're dedicated to the house of the Lord. Why? That's the way the carnal mind thinks. Stay with me. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if ye so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And here I said, quoted this a moment ago, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So what I've explained or tried there in my best effort is the war which we are engaged in this life. Listen, there's two men standing here. My soul is saved. But this outward man, Gordon pointed me out in Sunday school. This guy's got a problem with left lane 45 mile an hour drivers. I'd suggest you teach your children left lanes for passing, right lanes for driving way too slow. So we see the identifying factors as the present at our birth. He provides for His babies. He's proud of our accomplishments. He promises us an inheritance. But then the iniquity that's forsaken is difficult because of the war. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, there's many that have are out of fellowship with God today throughout the Christian world. And I'll say this, because here it is. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. But there's times that we take trips in the dark. And there, then, that's what needs to occur then, Brother Randy, is that we confess our sin. Listen. That's naming that thing to God so He knows that you know what it is. That's coming before God and saying, here's my problem. The woman come to the preacher and said, listen, I've got a problem with my tongue and I need to pray about it. He said, you need to put it on the altar. He said, it's just 8 foot long, but do the best you can. Name the thing before God. Let Him know what this is. This is my problem. Hey, Mike McCoy, I tell him my problem. He already knows my problems. But it's amazing how the weight lifts off of us when we say, God, here's my problem. I'm madder than a hornet at so-and-so. Forgive me, my sin. But see, He said, let them that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Iniquity doesn't sound bad. Depart from iniquity. That don't sound bad. Until we know what that word iniquity means. And it means this, moral wickedness. It means morally wrong and unrighteousness. That's what it means. In the Greek, that word means this, morally wrong, morally wrong. Is there a problem with that in America today? And unrighteousness. Now this is where I fall off the PC bandwagon. I am not even close. I can't even see the politically correct wagon when I read this scripture and define these words. And if the laws passed that have passed in Canada and other lands around the world, then this would be considered hate speech because I'm preaching the truth. And they'd put me in jail. You think it matters which laws are passed in this land? You better believe it matters. And I'm going all the way here. I'm not slowing down. Listen, I'm glad we have freedom of religion. But you better give me my freedom if I've got to give you yours. Don't you try to censor me and what I say and you have full reign, whole hog or die. Don't you do it, friend, because that is not freedom. But I stand for freedom of religion so I can stand and proclaim this truth today, which the world says is untruth and they don't like it. They don't have a problem with any religion until you put it in Jesus Christ. You put it in Jesus and it upsets the apple cart. They told Billy Sunday, said, hey, Sunday, said, you're rubbing the cat the wrong way. He said, turn the cat around. May I define iniquity, unrighteousness this morning? I'll do it fast and give an invitation. And you've heard me preach this here. If you've been in this church for 10 years, you've heard me preach this 8 or 10 times, I'd say at least. Paul's writing to the Corinthian church. And this is what he says about unrighteousness. And then he gives a list of some of the things that are. And I'm not mad at you this morning if you fall into this category. If I didn't care about you, I'd just say you're good to go, just like you are. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die, and don't worry about it. But that's contrary to Scripture. He said there's two things about this foundation that stand sure. This seal is marked by two things. One of them is this, God knows His own. And second, He knows this, let them that name Him depart from iniquity, which means morally wrong or unrighteousness. Now listen to me. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Shall not. Now, here's the list. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. You know what that is? Sex outside the covenant of marriage. It also means male prostitution in the Greek. So it means both. Nor idolaters. You know what that is? Someone that worships an image. An image worshiper. You know what that is? That's the one that would follow a singer halfway around the world and won't come to church on Sunday. That's the one that'll pay $100 for a seat in a ball game and won't put 25 cents in the offering plate at church. That's the one that is contrary to what Brother Gordon taught us this morning from the Word of God when he said he gives you ability to make money that you might give it to those that are in need. He's not talking about a free ride. He's talking about those that couldn't help the situation they're in. Because the Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. If you're too lazy to work, get a job. I'm tired of feeding you. Nor adulterers. You know who that is? That's one that has sex outside the marriage covenant with someone other than their spouse. That's what that means. Nor effeminate. That means one that dressed in soft clothing. It means this. It means a boy kept to be prostituted to another man, trying to make a woman out of him. I may make the evening news with this message. They'll crucify me. I'm just reading it off the page. You know what? They hate this book. Why? They're guilty of the sin. I'm not through yet. Don't jump on that wagon yet. There's a whole other list. Nor abusers of themselves. That means sodomy with mankind. Let me put it on there. That means sodomy. That means a man being with a man. I don't like that, preacher. I'm just reading what the book says. You know what they ought to do? Or to say, I appreciate you telling me the truth. When I go to the doctor and I've got a tumor the size of a grapefruit in me and that thing could be surgically removed and I would be well, I don't want the doctor to look at me and say, you ain't got a thing wrong with you, hoss. No, I want that guy to tell me the truth. I want to know when something's wrong. I can't do it. Listen, help me right here, Lord. I can't do a thing about it until I know I've got a problem. That's why the weightier matters of the law was this. Judgment, mercy, and faith. I saw His judgment, I took His mercy, and He gave me faith. That's the weightier matters of the law according to Jesus. Nor thieves. That means somebody steals something. Listen, if you steal an apple, you steal something bigger. You take something from work, don't belong to you, my friend, that's stealing. Nor covetous. The best way I know to describe that in modern day vernacular that you'd understand, that's the lottery ticket. I'm going to hit it big. That is greed. Being not content. The Lord said, be content with such things as ye have in His Word. Just be content. Well, I like to buy a lottery ticket. Why? Ask yourself, why am I buying this? Why am I buying this? Mike Blanton said, I will not play the lottery because if I do, I'll win and then I can't tell nobody I did. And then I'd have all that money and I couldn't spend it. What would I do? Because they'd know something happened if I'm out here buying a bunch of new stuff. He said, they'd know something happened. He said, there's no way I'd play the lottery. nor drunkards. You know what that word means? Tipsy. It means to be a sot, but it also just means to be tipsy. In other words, just get a buzz going and hang on right there. I'm just a social drinker. That's the opportunity to shine to say I won't drink. They invited my son to some shindig before he left down there at Honda, and here's what Dustin told him. He said, they serve anything besides alcohol? They said, oh yeah, I've got sweet tea. He said, I'll drink that. He may never drink it again. I think it caused kidney stones. Nor revilers. Now this word, revilers, you know what it means? It means to blackguard or be critical or run you down or nothing good to say. Nor extortioners. That's obtaining things wrongfully. And I know I'm on overtime right now. Come, Randall, get us a song. That means being unfair in business. You know some of the sweetest words I ever heard? And such were some of you, but you're washed. Glory to God. Hey, listen. You know I could put myself in that list in times past? And such were some of you. Oh, such were some of you. Oh, yeah. Such were some of you, but ye are washed. You know what that does, friend? That stands sure. What I've just preached to you stands sure. It's not going away. You can't water it down. Can't make it different. It stands sure. Let's stand our feet as they sing a song. If you need to pray about anything, you ought to come this morning.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.